Welcome to the Eldritch Estate, an establishment dedicated to the bizarre, the dark, and all that is otherworldly. We invite our guests to come and stay a while, to enjoy the haunted hallways, the shrieks of terror and delight, to forget time in our enchantingly disturbing abode. Whether it's for an overnighter or a week-long stay, our hostesses will see to it that you are shocked, horrified, and left morbidly curious about the goings-on here at the estate. Will you take a trip with us? We can't wait for you to see what's in store.
Hello, and welcome back to the Eldritch Estate. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Katie.
And we're here with a new episode for you, and we are quickly barreling towards our season finale, which is going to be awesome. I'm super excited for it. Can't wait for you guys to check that out in a few weeks. Just as we round the corner here into the holiday season, you guys are going to get lots of cool new content from us, and then we'll wrap up season two and have a little hiatus, and then we'll come back in 2022 with some more bitchin' content.
All kinds of cool stuff.
Sorry we didn't get you an episode last week. We both got sick during, like, Halloween, which was really disappointing because it's our favorite holiday. I still managed to enjoy it at home, watching spooky movies and eating candy, but we were not able to record. It's not the vid, don't worry, we're good.
The season change just fucking us up.
Yeah, we both had super busy weeks, and you know how your body just tells you, like, hey, bitch, sit the fuck down now.
You take nap right here.
Yeah, it was like you did too many things last week, so this week you get to feel like shit. So yeah, we're good now. We're back together again, and here with a new episode for you, and Katie is going to take it away.
All right, y'all. I'm gonna give this whole entire episode a big, ugly, giant-ass trigger warning. This may not be the episode for everyone. It contains both child harm and a child murder. So if that's not what you want to hear on your Friday or whenever you choose to download this episode, then maybe skip to one of the fluffier ones.
Yeah, or we'll see you in the next one.
Because this woman is a giant asshole piece of shit. Yeah, like I said, I completely understand if you want to skip this episode, and if not, then thanks for hanging out, and I'll preface when we're going to talk about the crime directly, but again, we are talking about it, so skip if you need, and we love you.
We love you. Take care of yourself.
Yep. Thanks for being on this greasy-ass ride with us, because this woman is hell. A daemon.
A daemon.
A real daemon. So, all that said, today we are going to talk about the murder of 7-year-old Cheryl Lynn Downs. Mm-hmm. The attempted murder of 3-year-old Stephen Daniel or Danny Downs and 8-year-old Christy Ann Downs by their own mother, Diane Downs.
Diane Downs.
This bitch. This bitch.
Oofta.
Yeah. So, some about Diane Downs. She was born Elizabeth Diane Fredrickson. She was born in Arizona to Wes and Willa Dean Fredrickson.
A local case.
Yes. Well, kind of. Yes and no.
Okay.
On August 7th of 1955, from what I found, her parents were married as teenagers and were still teens when Diane was born.
Okay.
According to Diane, her father molested her when she was a child, but by anyone else's account, that was simply untrue.
Okay.
And he, like, until his death, he remained a huge advocate for her innocence, even though she, like, very boldly and repeatedly claimed that he molested her as a child.
Interesting. And yeah. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say she's probably a narcissist and a liar.
Oh, we will get to her diagnosi.
Diagnosis.
Diagnoxin.
Diagnoses.
Ugh. She graduated from Moon Valley High School in Phoenix, Arizona, where she met her future husband, not for very long, Steve Downs.
See, I know people that went to Moon Valley.
Yep. After high school, she enrolled at the Pacific Coast Baptist College in Orange, California.
Okay.
But after a year, was expelled for promiscuity and returned to her parents' home.
Damn.
She a hoe.
You really got expelled from the Baptist Bible College for promiscuity.
Yep. Which, like, I listened to another podcast, and I think we can we link another podcast in the show notes? Is that
yes,
a thing?
Yes, I can do that.
It was a very good one. It, like, by all means, click our show notes, check it out. They are very, very funny. And it's like a three, four, two to four part It was long, but it was...
Somewhere between 1 and 5.
Y'all, I have 13 pages of notes, so... And I had to cut myself off. There's so much that I left out, and they were so in-depth this one.
Oh, yeah, like, good.
She read the shit out of that Anne Rule book, Small Sacrifices. I read some of it, and then I had to put the book down, because then my notes just kept getting longer.
Yeah, at a certain point, you have to be like, okay, let me focus on a couple of things here and not just tell you every single detail. Like, and then she dyed her hair, and then...
And then she had another fucking baby.
Oofta.
Yeah. Yep. On November 13th of 1973, she married Steve Downs. They were divorced in 1980, so 7 years later, due to infidelity on her part, after about a year after the birth of their youngest son, Danny.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
She was moving fast.
Yeah. This other podcast, they reference her beer-flavored nipples very often, because I don't know how this woman had such a fucking pull to men. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. It's a diamond. That's what it is.
Have you seen pictures of her?
I think so.
She wears her crazy on her face.
Like, that is true.
The Manson eyes. Worse than my dog.
Yeah. Yeah, in case we haven't referenced it already, Katie's dog has Manson eyes. Like, the eyes of Charles Manson.
Straight
on
up.
On a dog.
Murder eyes. I love him.
He's the sweetest. He's a big old puddle of love. But if you look at him and you're like, hey, buddy, he looks at you and you're like, oh.
Well, and if you're a man in a hat and sunglasses or any type of work uniform.
It's all over.
White pickup truck. He looks like a straight up diamond. So Downs was employed by the United States Postal Service in Chandler, Arizona, and was eventually assigned to the mail routes in the city of Cottage Grove, Oregon, before her 1983 arrest and trial.
Okay.
By all accounts of friends, acquaintances, neighbors, and eventually by her surviving daughter, Christy, Diane Downs was an unfit parent who put everything before her children and was especially cruel to Cheryl, who told a neighbor of her grandparents shortly before her death that she was afraid of her mother.
I don't understand why people like that have children.
Or, like
if you don't want kids, don't have kids.
And if your kid is telling someone, like, hey, I'm scared of this person.
Get them away from that person.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Bad shit gonna happen. So fast forward to May 19th of 1983. Diane, we're gonna talk about the crime.
Okay.
This is the crime.
Trigger warning.
Yeah, I was like, what's that word I'm supposed to say? The bad thing. So May 19th of 1983, Diane loads all three small children in her car to go see a friend, allegedly, at around 9:30 p.m. On the way home, Diane decides to take a detour to go, quote, sightseeing at 9:30 p.m. with three fucking small children in the car.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's what you do when it's pitch fucking black.
Absolutely.
So she's driving down this dark-ass scenic route, and she pulls up on a man on the side of the road who's waving his arms trying to get her to stop. And, you know, like any logical person, she pulls over with her three sleeping children in the car for this stranger. According to Diane, at this point, the man then demanded that she give him her car. Okay. To which she replied, you have got to be kidding me. Because, you know, that's what anybody says when they're getting fucking carjacked with their children in the car.
Right. And this happens a lot where somebody waves you down on the side of the road and then says...
And you willingly pull over.
Yeah. And then says, give me your car.
You've got to be kidding me.
I would just start driving again.
Maybe over the top of said person.
Yeah. Away from them, at least. At the very least.
Back the fuck up and standard right around them.
Standard move.
Skirt, skirt! So, the man proceeds to shove her aside and then begins shooting all three of her kids.
I'll take things that never happened for 400, Alex.
Fuck. Diane was then shot in the left arm by the, quote, bushy-haired stranger.
It's always a bushy-haired stranger. Or a hairy arm. A curly-haired man.
Why you gotta be dissing on his hair?
They're never like, he had straight golden locks.
Beard was well manicured. You know?
Finely shaved. Never. They're always like, it was a hairy man.
Deranged. Then why the fuck did you pull over?
Probably because it was a squatch is what really happened.
You know what? Don't incriminate the squatch.
Don't disrespect the squatch like that.
Hashtag hungercrypted.
Hungercrypted.
So she, at this point, apparently, allegedly, pretends to throw her keys into the bushes.
The car keys?
The car keys.
Okay.
While the man is looking for the keys that she pretended to throw in the bushes, she pushes the man aside, re-enters the car, and, quote, drives like a lunatic to the hospital.
Okay.
The like a lunatic thing is her words.
Yeah, those are in quotes, in case you guys couldn't hear that.
What a fucking trash bag, dude. Okay. So once she arrives at the hospital, she's laying on the horn and shouting, like, quick, my kids have been shot. You need to come out here. So, of course, doctors and nurses being people who want to help people.
People who care about humans.
The people who treated them were, like, shook and crying and upset and, like, clearly fucking distraught because, you know, who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
Because Diane.
A child was shot and they need... Oh my god.
Stoic. Like, absolutely fucking stone cold stoic.
My blood just ran cold, like...
Not a tear was shed. Not to say that people don't cope that way, you know, everybody copes in their own way, right. But...
And you could argue that, like, they were in shock, they didn't know how to react because it hadn't really hit them yet, like...
But to come in screaming and, quote, driving like a lunatic, and then just to be like, right. All emotion gone.
I'd be like, quick, my kids have been shot with no emotion in your voice. Like, I don't think anyone could utter that sentence.
And the thing is, they said she was very theatrical when she pulled in. Like, wailing and...
Almost like she was acting.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Anyway, it is a little, suspicious.
Suspicious.
Upon arrival at the hospital, Cheryl was... already dead.
Aww.
Yeah. Danny and Christy were severely wounded, and the surgeon that responded to the incident thought that Christy was also dead because her pupils were dilated and not responsive to the light. Her blood pressure was literally non-existent.
Oh my gosh, she must have lost a ton of blood.
Yes. Thankfully, they were able to revive her.
Oh my gosh.
And while nurses were checking out her arm, Diane did ask one time about the state of the kids, and the nurse told her they have all staff doing as much as they could for them. And then she didn't ask about it again.
You know, not like any other mother who would be like, are the kids okay? Can I go see them? Please make sure that, like, they're okay. Can I be with them? Can I be in the room? Literally. Where are they? Can I go to them? You know what I mean? Like,
yep. And, like, note on the surgeon, and this is from the Anroll book, they called him right as he got home from work.
Oh, okay.
So he and he lived back. 23 minutes from the hospital, and he got there in, like, 8.
Oh.
Like, hats off to this dude. The other two children would not have lived without him.
It's almost like he cared about their lives.
Yeah. Yep.
Unlike their mother.
Honestly. So, from there, from the hospital, Diane called her parents and told them, quote, he shot the kids and he shot me too. That's it.
Did he shoot her though? He, quote unquote.
We gonna talk about allegedly. That evidence. Allegedly.
Okay, okay.
So her parents come to the hospital as fast as they can because their child and grandchildren have been shot.
Yeah.
There was also discrepancy as to where the shooting happened. You know, she couldn't quite say where exactly they were. Was it on, like, Old Mohawk Road? Was it on this other road?
How very, like, convenient.
Ugh. And she says she's new to the area, so the detectives decide to drive Diane and her father west to the area to figure out, like, jurisdiction and where it actually happened and all that.
Gotcha.
On the way out, a nurse stopped Diane to tell her one of the girls is really not doing well and may not be alive by the time she gets back. And all Diane replied with was, okay, thank you for the information.
What?
And then, like, got in the car to leave.
No.
What the actual fuck? Okay, thank you for the information.
I have no words. That is your child.
Yep.
And they just told you she may not make it. And you say, okay, thanks. Gotta go drive around with a detective now. What? I'm sorry, guys, that I really have nothing better to say because I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a loop of shock and horror. and disgust.
It's fucking vile. Having this case in my head for so long has not been great.
Yeah.
I'm real ready to brain dump this, and I mean, it doesn't make it unhappen, but...
Right. We've been talking about this, like, it's, when you're researching it, you're so immersed in it, and it's, like, all you can think about, and unfortunately, all you can talk about, like, your friends and family are like, would you please stop fucking talking about this case? And you're like, I can't.
I just want some highlights, ma'am. Can you shut the fuck up about Diane Downs?
And then we do the podcast episode on it, and it's, like, a brain dump, and it's very, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's
cathartic.
Like, it's cathartic. It's therapeutic. And then you don't have to think about it anymore. And it vacates your brain. And it's great until you start researching the next one.
I think I need a conspiracy theory after these.
Oh, yeah. One. Birds aren't real part 2? Question mark?
Potentially. So, at this point, they exit the hospital, which I still don't know how the fuck she left the hospital when this lady told her her daughter is about to die.
I don't understand it.
And Diane sees her brand new little sports car all taped up because it's a fucking crime scene. And she's saying shit like, man, I hope my car's okay. Do you think it has any bullet holes in it?
The car?
The car. She asked more questions about her car than she did her children.
The car.
Do you not, think it has any bullet holes in it?
Not the children that she carried for 9 months, gave life to, and was raising. That she should love, because they are her children, her family. They depend on her as their mother for their care.
Do you think my car has any bullet holes in it?
I'm gonna yeet your car into an impound lot and crush it up.
Yep. So, Diane and her dad and the officers get to Old Mohawk Road, and she recalls to officers an, a quote, icky yellow car parked along the road.
Is she, like, 8? What the fuck?
I wish I could see the psych evals of this woman.
Ugh.
It's a lot. It gets worse. It gets so much worse. Like, I know it doesn't sound like it could get worse, and it gets so much fucking worse.
Ugh. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Like, I wish we could skip this episode.
Yeah, I want a skip button.
I love you, Mom.
Our last episode, you were like...
This was my mom's case request.
Oh, yes.
Y'all, this is a lot.
It's a case request. Yeah, because if you send us case requests, we will get to them.
Yep. Just...
Even if they're real, real heavy.
Send me a conspiracy theory, please, y'all. I need something lighter than this. All right. Whew. The car is not there when they arrive. The icky yellow one.
I suspect it was never there to begin with.
Yeah, well, allegedly. She also recalled horrific details to Sergeant Rutherford, stating, this is where Christy stopped choking, right on the bridge.
Ugh. Which, like, doesn't help in the investigation whatsoever.
No.
It's just a grotesque detail that she felt she wanted to share.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for shock value. Probably for attention.
Yep.
God.
At this point, she starts to bring up a brass statue of a unicorn she bought for the kids and had engraved with their names and a date, which the date was, I believe, a few days before the crime happened, which makes me believe that she had planned for the crime to happen on that date. But I think it's in her diaries, I want to say, that there's something that held her up and that it ended up happening a few days later.
You know, sometimes errands get in the way. You can't get to killing your kids on the day that you wanted to.
Yep.
Life.
Ugh.
Ugh. What an absolute shit stain of a human being.
Yep. And so she's saying basically that the statue was a curse, even though she bought it to, quote, symbolize the start of their new life.
Do you mean, like...
The end of their lives?
Yeah, what do you mean by new life? Bro, okay.
So, at this point, the hunt for the vicious man who shot these poor babies is now in full swing.
Because that's what police believe happened.
Yep.
Because she's the only witness.
Yep.
To tell them anything. Oh my gosh.
Diane is brought back to the hospital after complaining that her arm began to hurt and she was scared.
Oh, you poor fucking thing. I hope it rots off.
Yep. Officer Doug Welch, who was a new detective, and Dick Tracy, who is a longtime, like, experienced detective.
Yeah, dude. Fucking Dick Tracy, like, for real?
Yep.
That's insane.
Yep. They begin to interview Diane in a small treatment room of the ER. Welch describes Diane's demeanor as very flat and almost brittle. She was laughing inappropriately, and her mind didn't seem to be tracking the gravity of the situation. Yeah, dude, like...
Okay, so is this a, like, mental health issue? Like, was she deemed insane, or no?
No.
Oh, man.
Dude,
well, then, fuck her.
There's a lot more.
I know, we are not very far into this, and I really apologize to you guys, the listeners, because I realize that my, like, banter is not great right now, because I just keep saying, what, and oh my gosh, and
what
I
the
don't,
fuck?
Yeah, I don't know, so.
Like, but I've done the research, and I'm like, I need a minute, hang on.
Yeah. Oh, man.
When the ER staff came in to tell her that Cheryl Lynn had passed away and that Christy was in critical condition, like, she did not react
at all. I can't imagine.
Yeah. I don't want to imagine.
Like, I don't know how you... Like, that's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
How do you just... Nothing. No reaction. No emotion. No feeling.
Nothing.
I don't know.
She's fucking mentally sick, dude.
Yeah.
So, the doctor treating Danny then comes in to Diane while she was still with the officers to discuss their cautious optimism about her son and his condition, and he described the pathway of the bullet and the, like, the way it went through his body, and her only response to him was, "You mean it missed his heart?"
Almost like she was hoping it would hit his heart.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I want to throw up right now.
My stomach is so nauseous.
Oh. We might have to get a bucket for this episode.
I will throw you in the bucket and we can't be friends anymore.
Oh, that's right. I'm not allowed to puke in front of Katie.
Fun fact, vomit phobia. Can't do it. The whole friend's not good anymore. sorry about the 20 years.
When I, yeah.
30
years down the
whatever.
Drain. 20. So, funny story. As a side note and a palate cleanser.
Thank God.
When I was growing up, I had a babysitter who took care of me and one other girl, and then her sons were around our age. She had one boy that was older than us, and she had one boy that was younger than us. So, like, as a group of four of us, we could all kind of play together and get along pretty well. And the other girl, was very prone to nosebleeds. And her younger son was the type of person that faints at the sight of blood.
I didn't know this.
So
I know all parties involved in this, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, this is a very, very close family friend. I say babysitter because that's what she started out as, but she became like an aunt to me, so.
And now she's basically my aunt.
Yeah. We're all adopted family to each other.
Yep.
So the younger girl is also very reserved and very quiet and, like, would never interrupt. So one day the babysitter's talking on the phone to somebody, and we had all been playing outside, and the girl gets a nosebleed, and so we all come inside, but she doesn't want to interrupt our babysitter who's talking on the phone, because that would be rude. She doesn't want to interrupt her on her phone conversation. So she's waiting, and she's waiting, and blood is just running, like, down her face and down her neck, and it's, like, getting onto the collar of her shirt, even. And so finally, you know, because when you're talking on the phone, you can get very involved, especially our babysitter. She was, like, the type to talk with her hands and be like, "No, she said what?" And, like, very involved. So she turns around and she sees blood, like, gushing down the girl's, like, front of her face and
why is this child bleeding?
Yeah. And she's like, "Oh my god!" And she takes her to the bathroom and we start to get her cleaned up. And the other boy, her son, had been, like, in a different part of the house. And so he came in to see what all the commotion was and saw all the blood and promptly passed out on the bathroom floor.
Aww.
So then there's me and the babysitter and the girl with the bleeding and her
unconscious her son
unconscious
on the floor.
Son. And we're all like, So, long story short, we got her cleaned up. He came too. We got him cleaned up. Everything was all good, but it was just one of those, like, funny stories. It was like, nobody bleed in front of him because it's not going to go well.
My coworkers know, if you are going to vomit, don't do it near me because I will disown you.
Leave the room, or at least leave the building, or at least the room.
Yep. And, like, please don't scream when you throw up, PSA.
Oh, that's my boyfriend, 100%. It sounds like he's yelling, and then you hear the puke.
It sounds like a bad cartoon where they're like...
Yeah. And, like, I get it. You can't really... You don't have any control over it. Like, obviously, this is an involuntary action that's happening
but
to you.
But it does not activate your vocal cords.
Well, for him, it definitely does.
I think it's voluntary.
And it's always with the bathroom door open as well. I'm like, could you at least close the door so the whole house doesn't have to hear it?
After that, you're still his spouse. Unpartnered.
So are you telling me that your husband has never puked in front of you? I know there's at least one instance.
I never stepped on the lawn in one of the houses that, like, he lived in while we were growing up ever again after he threw up in it. I never walked down the side of that house either because he threw up beef stroganoff down there one time.
Mm.
Like, vivid memories of every time I've ever seen someone throw up.
Gotcha.
Can't forget it.
I have a pretty vivid memory of a time that you threw up pink and orange all over the bathroom.
I don't remember that.
It was in the old house, and you had, like, too much vitamin C, and your body was like, no more vitamin C.
Every time I take vitamin C, dude, I throw up foam like a dog. It's crazy.
And I'm talking, like, hot pink, y'all. Like, it looked
like... It was like an emergency tab or something.
Yeah, like somebody sprayed hair dye all over the bathroom.
Well, and people are like, oh, just take some vitamin C, it'll feel so much better. And I'm like, how about you go fuck yourself, Susan? And they're like, whoa, that is a big reaction. I'm like, no. That is a vomit tablet.
Don't come at me with that bullshit.
Well, and it's literally like you dropped a Mentos into a Diet Coke when you put a vitamin C into my body. Yeah. Like, it's just gonna explosive foam at some point.
It's not good.
There's a lot of talk of vomit for someone who can't handle vomit.
Yeah, trigger warning, we're gonna talk about vomit.
Yeah, apparently.
It already happened, so sorry.
I disowned myself. Dishonor on me, dishonor on my cow.
But no puke is happening at this current moment in time.
Thank God.
So there's your palate cleanser.
You're welcome. All right, let's continue this.
Now back to the bad part.
The whole thing is the bad part.
Yeah.
Doug Welch and Dick Tracy continue to have Diane recall the events of that night, and they were both a little overwhelmed as she became very, very talkative.
What?
Welch describes her words as verbal vomit.
There it is.
Yep. Another vomit. And Tracy at one point says to her, you have a tremendous amount of recall. You must be fairly intelligent. To which Diane replied, there are 8 levels of intelligence, and I am on the 7th level. I said narcissist barf in my notes.
There are 8 levels of intelligence, and I'm on the 7th level. Like, go fuck yourself with something sharp and rusty. I hate that.
Yep.
I hate that so much. Like, obviously, I hate that she, like, her children and everything, but, yeah.
After her interrogation, she was tested for gunshot residue, which came back negative. However, 22s, which is the weapon used to shoot the children.
Yeah, that's an itty-bitty.
They have a very low debris factor.
He's just a little guy.
Yep. Obviously, her calm-as-a-cucumber demeanor that was somehow mixed with extreme over-theatrics led both hospital staff and the investigators to plant the early seeds of doubt.
Yeah. I would also be on that train
with
those investigators and hospital staff. Yeah, it's really not all adding up, Diane. I know you think you're a fucking genius, but there's some major holes here.
I can't even describe to you the shit I had to leave out to trim this down to where it was even remotely a one-part episode.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we have an episode coming up that I'm having a similar issue with, and I'm almost positive it's going to be a two-parter, so get ready for that.
Gonna be two-parter.
Two-part season finale.
Those suspicions further grew when they learned that Downs, upon arrival to the hospital to visit her children, phoned Robert Knickerbocker, a married man and former coworker in Arizona that she had been having an affair with.
Why? Why? Why would you call this man?
Okay. This is part of the huge, crazy shit that I left out. She's fucking obsessed with this guy, like, on a scary stalker level.
Are so many things going on with her.
Beer-flavored nipples. I don't know how she had this man attracted to her for so long.
I guess.
Crazy-ass side note, Diane had this man's name and a rose tattooed on her and coerced him to get a, quote, matching tattoo, but he only had the rose part, not her name, because, you know, he's, like, fucking married to someone else.
Yeah. You know, that wouldn't be a really great conversation to have. Hey there, Robert. As your wife, I was just wondering why you have a fucking other woman's name tattooed on you right now.
Because that's not your mom.
Yeah.
It's not your baby.
And you had...
It's not your aunt.
You didn't have that tattoo before.
Also, I know you fucking this lady.
Yeah. So, yeah, another funny aside here. You know, people have multiple marriages sometimes.
Yep.
Like, you get married, doesn't work out.
Yep.
You find someone else. You're like, hey, this is working out. Let's get married. Word. And then sometimes even that doesn't work out. You may have, you know...
You need a couple warm-ups sometimes. Wow.
So, unnamed family member in this similar situation... And they were married to a person who had also been in a similar situation, and said person had Susie tattooed, like, all over them, like, several places. It was weird. It was like...
I don't care what you're wearing, you're gonna see my fucking name on your body.
This arm.
Tank top?
This arm.
Long
sleeve. Back of the neck.
Three-quarter sleeve.
It was so odd. I was like, why is it, like, four times, dude? And then, like... So, yeah, you know, and they were married for several years while he had those tattoos of not her name all over him.
I mean, it is kind of a bad omen.
Yeah, well, and like, you know, it's permanent. I feel like the only names you should probably get tattooed on you are like your children's names, maybe.
Yep.
But then even then, maybe your child decides they want to go by a different name as they get older. I don't know.
Absolutely have my child's name tattooed on my body. And like... Get a matching tattoo. Me and Dusty have matching tattoos.
We sure do.
Rock the fuck out of them. Gone ahead.
We have cute matching tattoos. Maybe
but
we'll
am
put
I
up
ever
a photo
gonna,
of that for you guys.
Am I ever going to tattoo your name on my body?
No.
Even though you're my hetero life mate? No.
No.
No the fuck I'm not, because it's a bad omen.
Yeah. I feel like it is cursed in some ways.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
And just, like, think real hard about a tattoo anyway. Like, don't get me wrong, we're both very tattooed. Like,
but sleep on it.
Yeah. Just think about it. It's a permanent decision.
It sure is. As someone who has a couple shitty tattoos.
And it's expensive.
And then it's even more expensive to
and
have it fixed.
Time consuming. Like, it's not quick either.
No. No, and at my current tattoo artist, I'm not talking about you.
Exactly, yeah.
I love your face.
I also love my artist. All of my
artists. I have
is
also
by
been
him.
Tattooed by your artist, yeah. And he's wonderful.
Yeah. Also, tip your artists.
Do it. Do it.
This has been a PSA.
Spay and neuter your pets.
I'm Bob Barker. Spay and neuter your pets.
Pip your tattoo artist. What the fuck? Did I just break? Am I having another stroke?
No, we're not having another stroke. I say we.
Like
it's
you
happening
experienced
to both of us simultaneously.
So, Knickerbocker, also known as Nick, which you would know if I went into the fucking crazy-ass debauchery about this woman and this man.
I know we just had a fucking tangent, but I know a music chant about Dr. Knickerbocker. And it's like, Dr. Knickerbocker went back, blah, 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 and it's like a whole thing, and that's like, my brain keeps doing it every time you say his name.
I really need this fluff in this episode, though.
Extra fluff to make up for how fucking shitty this is.
Word. He had also reported to the police that Diane had been stalking him, and she seemed willing to kill his wife if that meant that she could have him to herself.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
He also said that he didn't want to be anyone's daddy. Let's just toss that in there.
That sounds like,
motive?
Motive to me.
I mean, if you're a fucking lunatic.
If you're obsessed with this person and you want to maybe kill their spouse and marry them and they tell you they don't want to be anybody's daddy. How terrible. My stomach is in knots right now.
When Diane moved away to Oregon, Nick said he was relieved that she had left and he was able to finally reconcile with his wife.
Bro.
Yep.
You know how else you could reconcile with your wife?
Stop fucking cheating on her.
Stop cheating on her. Cut that other person out of your life.
Maybe get a restraining order and a weapon because...
Word.
Maybe a new identity.
Yeah.
Moral of the story is don't cheat on your wife.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you have an open relationship and everyone's cool, if you're polyamorous and everyone's cool, everyone's, you know...
Yep.
Sane, consensual, safe, all of that stuff.
Follow your heart.
Happy adults, go for it. If you're
if
monogamous
you find a
and
fucking
your partner doesn't
lunatic.
Know, right. Especially don't bring crazy into the relationship.
Don't put your dick in crazy. Do not.
PSA.
Do not put your dick in crazy.
And vice versa. Don't let anyone put their crazy dick in you.
That too.
Yeah.
Even if you think the sex is gonna be better. Don't do it.
It ain't worth it.
It is not worth it. Do you want a stalker? Because that's how you get a stalker. Do you want ants? Because that's how you get ants.
Do you want a cat? Because that's how you get cats.
Fuck, dude. Don't even bring up the cats. There was cat vomit on my porch. Oh. And now there's cat shit under my car. And I'm about to start leaving it in her yard.
I would do that. I would just turn her yard into a litter box.
Did I just hashtag not a criminal? Hashtag
not a criminal. Cat poop relocator. Just say it's a business. Yeah. Yeah, get other people in the neighborhood to pay you to remove the cat shit from their lawns and just all dump it on her lawn.
Dump it on all the cat feeders' lawns.
Yeah.
Bitches.
I think it's a great business plan. I say you go with it.
Welcome to the fluff. This is what happens when we get uncomfortable.
Yep.
So, forensic investigation began, and it came out more and more that the evidence didn't match up to the story Downs told about that
night.
There was no blood spatter on the driver's side of the car. Nor was there any gunpowder residue on the driver's door panel, on the inside, or on the outside of the driver's side door.
I'm shocked.
Shooketh. Diane did not disclose to police that she owned a .22 caliber handgun.
Well, you know, that's because she's on the 7th level of intelligence.
But both her ex-husband Steve and Nick informed them that she did.
Way to go, Steve and Nick.
I mean, team fucked crazy.
Yeah, they were both like, God damn, this crazy.
Do you want to get rid of ants? Because this is how you get rid of ants.
They were like, let me tell you about a little thing called Raid.
Investigators later discovered that she had purchased the handgun in Arizona. Which, like, of course.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona gun laws, especially in the, what was this, the 80s, 90s?
80s. Yeah. 83. Investigators weren't able to find the actual weapon, but they found unfired casings in her home with the exact same extractor markings matching the murder weapon.
Okay.
Most damaging, this is gonna make you fucking sick, bro. Witnesses saw her car being driven very slowly to the hospital at an estimated speed of 5 to 7 miles per hour to the hospital. She literally fucking idled her car to the hospital while her children were dying in her vehicle.
And you know those poor babies were screaming and crying.
She literally said herself this is where she stopped choking, here on the bridge. This woman is a fucking piece of shit. Like, human garbage, shitbag monster.
The worst kind of person. The lowest circle of hell.
There's not a level of poo-poo trash to describe this person. Ooh,
yeah,
my tummy's sick.
An absolute monster. Pure evil.
This directly conflicted with her claim that she drove like a lunatic, or like a crazy person or a lunatic to the hospital after the shooting. Based on this and all the additional evidence, Downs was arrested on February 28th, 1984, 9 months after the shooting.
Oh my god.
And charged with one count of murder and two counts of attempted murder and criminal assault.
Good.
This also doesn't include the fact that she did, like, 30-some interviews on national fucking TV and begged them,
and
sobbing theatrically, to find
lied.
The person who shot her children and...
Look in the fucking mirror, bitch.
Well, and I mean, that's a very common thing, too. You see people,
oh, yeah,
like, begging on the news to bring my child home when they're the ones who fucking killed their,
yep,
kid. Or, like, attending vigils of their victims and all,
yep,
that. I left all that out because it's just, it's a fucking lot.
It's a lot. It's sick and twisted and... Like you said, we could have figured that out right now just by saying it. Just,
yep,
by the basis of who she is as a person.
Mm-hmm. Prosecutors argued that Downs shot her children to be free of them so she could continue her affair with Nick.
Oh my god.
Who,
just...
yeah, he, like I said, let it be known that he did not want children in his life.
Which he probably just meant offhandedly.
And like, leave me alone. He's probably just,
right,
trying to make her go away.
At no point did he say, babe, kill your kids so we can be together.
Or kill my wife.
What the fuck?
Yep. Much of the case against Downs rested on the testimony of her surviving daughter, Christy, who, once she recovered her ability to speak, described how her mother shot all three children, parked at the side of the road, and then shot herself in the arm.
Way to go, Christy. And also, I can't believe that fucking crazy bitch shot herself in the arm.
Christy was 8 years old at the time of the murder and 9 years old at the time of the trial.
Oh my God, poor baby.
So after she regained her ability to speak, they put her through counseling, and this counselor is a fucking genius.
Uh-huh.
So she had her, she got her comfortable enough to be like, okay, I want you to write down on this piece of paper who did this to you and throw it in the fire.
Oh, okay.
And every day you're going to write down who did this to you on this piece of paper and throw it in the fire. And then one day when you're feeling safe and comfortable enough to give me the piece of paper, you can tell me who did it. And when she finally gave the paper to her counselor, it said, my mom.
Oh my God.
Or my mother.
I have full body chills right now.
Yep.
Goosebumps everywhere.
Hats the fuck off to her counselor, first of all.
And also, like, that poor girl.
It's fucking terrible, dude.
8 years old, and then...
And then 9 years old to have to sit in front of a court and say, my mom shot me and my siblings in this vehicle and then shot herself.
And obviously, like you said, she was working with this counselor, and this counselor was incredible. But to have to go through all of that, regaining the ability to speak, working with a counselor, probably all of the interviews, the trial, testimonies...
On top of like, physical therapy, relearning how to use your body again, like,
all while
watching your brother be paralyzed.
Growing up, oh man. And having lost your other sister.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Poor thing.
Downs was found guilty on all charges on June 17th of 1984 and sentenced to life in prison plus 50 years.
Good.
Psychiatrists diagnosed Downs with narcissistic histrionic and antisocial personality disorders.
Yeah.
Most of her sentences to be served consecutively, and the judge made it very clear that he didn't wish her to ever regain freedom.
I'm with him.
Yeah. The surviving children eventually went on to live with one of the prosecutors of the case, aww, Fred Hughey. He and his wife, Joanne, adopted them in 1984, and prior to her arrest and trial, Downs actually had become pregnant with a fourth child and gave birth a month after her 1984 trial to a little girl that she named Amy.
I hope they got that child away from her as soon as humanly possible.
Well, and she got pregnant so that she looked maternal during the trial.
Oh, to, like, play on the sympathy of the jury?
Yep.
Whoa.
And...
What?
Okay, I'm gonna give you, do you want the good before the bad or the bad before the good?
Give me the bad.
So, when they asked her about getting pregnant, she had referenced the loss of her daughter and been like, well, children are just so easy to conceive that I decided to have another one.
And that's exactly why some people shouldn't be allowed to procreate.
Yep.
That right there.
Yep. And she had, it was literally a one-night stand. She had been tracking her cycle. And trapped this poor guy that I think she worked with into having a fucking child with
her. This is neurotic. This is so absolute. Like, the logic has ceased to exist in this conversation.
It gets worse.
Oh.
That's not the only baby she had.
What?
Yeah. During, maybe it was before the trial of this, from what I remember from that podcast, she had been approved to become a surrogate.
What?
She was a fucking surrogate too, bro.
Oh my God, how do you even go through that process? Like, the paperwork, the
background
check?
She was diagnosed with three or four personality disorders and then still fucking approved to be a surrogate.
Not to mention, like, she had to have had a record before this, right?
I don't know.
Oh my God. I would imagine she would without fucking... Right. I don't want to use the term insane because it's disrespectful to people that struggle with mental health, but like... How absolutely wild she is.
Yep.
I guess is, she's on another level.
Yep. All right, the good part.
Okay.
10 days before sentencing, the baby was seized by the state of Oregon and adopted soon after, and then she was renamed Rebecca or Becky Babcock.
I'm glad that she was adopted, and I hope it was to a wonderful family.
I believe it was. Well, I know it was.
Okay, good.
Because Downs escaped from the Oregon Women's Correctional... Dude, I told
my
you. It, like, there's just...
Like
it doesn't end.
Ted Bundy or some shit.
Downs escaped from the Oregon Women's Correctional Center of the Oregon Department of Corrections. So that was long.
That was a lot of very long words, too.
Well, and like, Oregon Center, Oregon Direction,
Correctional
Oregon.
Center, Department of Corrections, Oregon.
Yes.
It's late.
So she escaped on July 11th of 1987 and was recaptured in Salem, Oregon on July 20th. So she disappeared for fucking 10 days.
10 days. And then how far is the Department of Corrections from Salem? Like, did she get pretty far? Or...
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
She
tried to, like,
not in my notes, but she made friends with her cellmate, and her cellmate was married.
That's right.
And would, like, discussed with this woman where they lived and the fact that, like, I don't know, maybe she told her she was gonna escape, but this lady drew her a fucking map to her house.
Yeah.
And when they found her, she was just, like, chilling in this dude's t-shirt and came in, or came out of the house, like, oh, her, you found me.
Yeah. And the dude was, like, her cellmate's ex?
No, husband.
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 So then she, like, she got all this info from her cellmate, she got the map, she escapes, and then she goes and fucks her cellmate's husband.
Yes.
What? Like, I, what? You ever just think to yourself, like, wow, that really happened?
Yep.
None of that is fictitious.
I cannot believe I am stringing these words together in a sentence.
Factual information.
Yep.
Now I have an eyelash in my eye. It's falling apart over here.
She received an additional 5-year sentence for this escape.
I love whoever was petty enough to do that.
Like, life plus 50 years. Plus 5 because you're a dumb bitch and you escaped.
Because fuck you.
Yep. After escape, she was housed in the New Jersey Department of Corrections, Clinton Correctional Institution. Why? I don't know why these names are so long. In 1994, after serving 10 years, Downs was transferred to the California Department of Corrections and Rehab. While in prison, she has earned an associate's, which, like, first of all, I'm not even going to tell you guys this, because fuck her. She has no achievements, she's a piece of shit, and...
She didn't earn shit.
I hope her teeth fall out.
She earned her sentence, that's what she earned.
Yep. As of 2010, she's located in Valley State Prison for Women. Author Anne Rule, I referenced the book Small Sacrifices from 1987 that detailed the life of Downs. There was also a made-for-TV movie called Small Sacrifices starring Farrah Fawcett. Fuck that. First, second,
Farrah
third
Fawcett
of all.
Farrah Fawcett is an actual queen and gorgeous and does not have crazy eyes.
That was released in 1989, and Downs' last child, born shortly after her trial concluded, appeared on the Oprah Winfrey show in October wow. I'm broken. I'm sorry, guys. Diane Downs' last child, born shortly after her trial concluded, appeared on the Oprah Winfrey show on October 22nd of 2010 and an episode of 2020 in July 11th of 2011.
Hmm.
Downs' sentence makes her eligible for parole consideration after serving 25 years. So she's up for parole in 25
right.
years.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, didn't pass.
Yeah, I wouldn't approve that either.
Under Oregon law, as a dangerous offender, she will be eligible for a parole consideration hearing every 2 years until she's released or dies in prison. The latter.
Yeah, I was like, I know which one I'm hoping for. That's a terrible thing to say, but she's a terrible person.
In her first application for parole in 2008, Downs reaffirmed her innocence. Over the years, she said, I have told you and the rest of the world that a man shot me and my children. I have never changed my story. Because it's fucking fake and you wrote it.
Yeah, I mean, you can stick to that story if you want, but it's just as believable as me riding in on a Pegasus to, fire up my rainbow machine.
Yep. Downs' first parole hearing was on December 9th of 2008, and Lane County District Attorney Douglas
Harklerode,
what she said, wrote to the parole board, Downs continues to fail to demonstrate any honest insight into her criminal behavior. Even after her convictions, she continues to fabricate new versions of events under which the crimes occurred.
Oh my god, so she is changing her story.
Correct. She alternately refers to her assailant as a bushy-haired stranger, two men wearing ski masks, or drug dealers and corrupt law enforcement officials.
See, this is all just to ensure her innocence, and that's why. It's because she's on the 7th level of intelligence.
Downs participated in the hearing from the Valley State Prison for Women in Chowchilla?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Or Chowchilla, maybe?
Oh, Chowchilla sounds good, too. California. She was not permitted a statement, but answered questions from the parole board. After 3 hours of interviews and 30 minutes of deliberation, Diane Downs was denied parole. Shock.
Yeah.
She was eligible to reapply for parole in 2010, and she faced her second parole hearing on December 10th of 2010, which she was denied again. Under a new law, she won't be eligible for another 10 years. She had another hearing in 2020. Now, I couldn't find the results.
Yeah,
I didn't see anything about her being released when I started researching it, so I think either it's delayed or she just didn't get the fuck out.
Yeah, a lot of those have been postponed due to COVID, so that may be, it might be caught up in a waiting game.
Keep her in there. Let her rot.
Honestly. Yeah, she doesn't need to be with the general population.
Of even prison.
Any time between now and the time of her death, I think she should be in prison. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like if you hurt your child, and maybe this is going to make me sound like a murderer, hashtag not a murderer, they should do to you what you did to your kid.
I just think we should protect children.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
If that means removing abusive, harmful, murderous adults from their life,
whom your child has told you they're scared of,
yeah,
do that.
Do that.
Do that.
And while we're at it,
don't hurt your kids.
If you don't want kids, don't have them.
And if you have kids and you don't want kids, someone wants them.
Yeah.
Don't hurt them.
There are several lovely people out there who would take wonderful care of children.
I don't know if it's just Arizona, but at least in the state of Arizona, if you don't want your kid, you can drop them off at a hospital or a fire station.
Yeah,
don't hurt your children.
Safe haven laws.
Yes. Don't hurt your kids.
Not that any of you would do that, because you're wonderful, lovely listeners of the Eldritch Estate, and
we
you
love
know,
you guys.
You know that you would get caught if you did. And you wouldn't do that anyway, because you're great people. And we love ya.
Yep. So that's Diane Downs, and
that's a terrible person.
Fuck her. That was a lot. It's out of my brain now.
You did a nice job with that.
I cut out so much, bro.
I think you did a nice job of giving all the salient details and some good side stuff without getting, too much into the side stuff. Because it sounds like she was just a whole other kind of creature.
Fucked.
Straight fucked.
Fuckered up, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Damaged in the brain. And I don't know if you've seen recent pictures of Diane Downs.
Well, we're going to upload them to the Instagram, I'll tell you that much.
We sure as fuck are, because she's 100%. The crazy's wearing her.
Mm. The crazy is coming from inside the skeleton. So that's it for this time.
My neighbors feed the cats. Stop feeding the fucking cats. Thanks for listening. We love you.
We love you. We'll catch you on the next one. Remember, you can check out anytime you like.
But you can never leave. And hopefully Diane Downs can never leave prison.
Hear, hear.
A.
Bye.
Bye.